Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is ESPN Radio.
So that offense and Ryan Tannehill, they get a shot in the arm. Another weapon at their disposal for Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, and Will Levis there in that quarterback room in Tennessee, because they now have DeAndre Hopkins to throw the football to. A two-year deal for Tennessee, and Hopkins, 1 year, could be worth up to $15 million this upcoming season. So now that we know he is in Tennessee and the wait is over. He's not in New England. Okay. He's not in Buffalo, not in Kansas City, not in any of these other teams that were floated out in the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes. He's in Tennessee, Harry. And both you and I think that's a big upgrade. But how much of an upgrade is that for the Tennessee Titans? Let's look, and not just this division, because we talked about it earlier in the show. In the AFC South, feels like it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tennessee Titans, and then everybody else. The Colts and the Texans. I don't think anybody really believes in those two teams. But in the hierarchy of the AFC, now with D-Hop, are the Titans going to be competitive in that landscape?
Yeah, I believe so. And here's why I believe that. When you look at the upper echelon of teams, or you look at the teams that, you know, you're counting on year in and year out in the AFC, you look at Kansas City. I think Miami and what they was able to do and add to what they had last year.
Talk.
You could throw them in there. Buffalo, Cincinnati, and the Ravens. You look at those teams, and you can go ahead and basically cement those teams where you want them to be. Now, the next line of teams that you have, you look at the Chargers, you look at the Jets, you look at the Browns, the Jags, and the Titans. When I just looked at the Titans' schedule last year in 2022, with a ton of injuries again on their roster, and I'm looking at games they played, well, they didn't have Ryan Tannehill for the Kansas City Chiefs. They took the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime and still had an opportunity to win that game. They lost by three. They lost to the Cincinnati Bengals by four. They lost to Jacksonville at the end of the year, last game of the year. They lost to Dallas. They was actually in that game, but a lot of their star players didn't play in that one. They lost to the Chargers by three. Their games against, you know, tough opponents that I'm looking at on their schedule in 2022 where they had opportunities to actually win. And I think Mike Vrabel gives you that opportunity as their head coach. Derrick Henry as the running back, who, in my opinion, is still a top three running back in the National Football League, gives you that opportunity. You look on the defensive side, and you have a guy like Jeffrey Simmons leading the way. They're going to get back Harold Landry III this season, who was a double-digit sack guy 2 years ago before getting hurt last year. You also look at the safety position and having a solid guy back there who can tackle in space, who can intercept the football, who could be a playmaker in Kevin Byard. They have the pieces to be able to compete. And I think since Mike Vrabel has become the head coach there, their identity is playing smash mouth football, playing good defense, being able to put you in positions that you aren't accustomed to being in as a football team. I think they have an opportunity to compete, and each game that they play, which the proof is in the pudding over the last few years, if they line up between the lines, you better bring your hard hat and your lunch pail, no matter if they're injured or not, because they're going to bring it and have an opportunity to win games.
So if I'm picking up what you're putting down here, you have five teams in the top tier. It feels like you're splitting the AFC into three tiers here. So your first tier would have roughly five teams in it. Your second tier, I think from what you just said, also had five teams in it. And it's that second tier that you consider the Tennessee Titans part of. You also put the New York Jets as part of that second tier. I mean, some people, just based on the quarterback and that defense alone, would have thrust the Jets into that top tier of teams. But you have them in the second tier. So the Titans, essentially a team with a ton of good pieces, like the Jets, you know, good names on the roster, could be good, could compete, but you don't feel as confident about as you do those five teams in your first tier. And then that leaves, what, six teams roughly in your third tier, if I'm sort of reading between the lines of everything that you were just saying, looking at the landscape of the AFC. But, I think it's interesting. Go ahead.
Here's the thing about the Jets, though, because I actually picked the Jets to win that division because I don't know about Tua's health. That's the only thing that's holding me up from that. When I look at the Jets play last year versus the Buffalo Bills and what they did to Josh Allen at home, and then now you're adding Aaron Rodgers, yes, the only thing about it for me is that, yes, I would like to see it on a consistent basis. The first little, I'll say, 4 or 5 games of the season.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, we have to see what he looks like in a different uniform, right? Yeah. I mean, we have no idea. We know how great he was in Green Bay, but there's going to be that discomfort level of just even predicting what it's going to look like in that market in a different uniform with a totally different staff, a different everything for Aaron Rodgers. And we've never seen it before. We've never seen how he handles that adversity of change. So it's reasonable to be a little trepidatious, but it's remarkable because you have the Jets winning that division, but you have the Dolphins and the Bills as two teams in your first tier of the AFC, and the Jets are in your second tier of the AFC.
Well, this proof is in the pudding. I mean, the Bills have won that division the last few years. That's right. That's proof in the pudding. And they have Josh Allen. And you're also getting Von Miller back from injury, and you added Leonard Floyd as well. And then you drafted Dalton Kincaid, who I think is going to be a matchup nightmare for a lot of people. The Miami Dolphins, I'll be honest with you, if Tua didn't have the concussion issues, that's the team I would pick in the AFC behind, also, I would say, the Cincinnati Bengals to give the Kansas City Chiefs the most problems. It's just that I don't know if Tua is going to be able to stay healthy and stay clear of concussions. That's another thing that I just can't bank or put my money on. But what they've done with their roster, along with Mike McDaniel being their head coach and adding Vic Fangio to their defense, I love them as a team. Having two number one corners, I don't think people understand the luxury that is. The luxury that you have as a defensive coordinator, when you have two guys that can lock people up on the outside, and then you have a safety in Javon Holland, who's a hybrid guy and can make plays on the back end as well, and turn the football over on top of having a pass rush, it's a lot of dynamic things that you can do as a defense if you're Vic Fangio and the Miami Dolphins.
I'm not arguing with you about my Miami Dolphins in any way, except for I do think that the concerns around Tua, now you know why I had him on my top five players with the most pressure as we enter this 2023 NFL season, because I think that the health of Tua is a paramount concern. I, too, if Tua is healthy, easily have them top tier in the AFC because of the weapons, because of that roster. And I do think Mike McDaniel, given very small sample size, looked like one heck of a coach in the NFL. Nevertheless, the health of Tua is such a question mark that I don't really know what it's going to look like for the Dolphins. So I wouldn't have a huge problem with people also putting them in that second tier of teams if you felt more comfortable doing that. The teams that I think we probably would all agree on are the Buffalo Bills, right? And are the Kansas City Chiefs in that top tier. You had the Cincinnati Bengals in that discussion. I think most people would. You had the Baltimore Ravens as a team in your top tier. I think that was the other team, right? Aside from those that I just mentioned. That one, I think, is more on the fence for people.
Well, I would say this. When you look at the last 2 years, in 2021, the Baltimore Ravens were the number one seed in the AFC before Lamar Jackson got hurt. And then you look at 2022, the Baltimore Ravens were the leading team in the AFC North before Lamar Jackson got hurt, and even still had an opportunity with Tyler Huntley to beat the Cincinnati Bengals in a playoff game. Because, look at the landscape of it, if Lamar Jackson was playing in that game, and if it wasn't honestly for a fumble that got returned for a touchdown, the Ravens still probably would have won that football game. But then you look at what they added, the additions at the wide receiver position. Lamar Jackson's never had the skill position players that he has this year. On top of his offensive tackle, he's going to go into the season healthy. J.K. Dobbins is going to go into the season healthy. Those are a few things that the Baltimore Ravens didn't have a season ago, on top of having a new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken calling things and trying to diversify the football a lot of different ways for that offensive unit.
But this is how stacked the AFC is, because I don't disagree with that. And now I'm going to be thrilled that we can actually talk about what the Baltimore Ravens do on the football field and what Lamar Jackson does as part of that, as opposed to that contract that has been looming over that organization for the past 2 years. Lamar Jackson gets paid. I think he has, frankly, a lot of pressure on him to go out after getting that bag and just prove that it was worth it, and prove that that long wait and all of those headlines that he stole for 2 years while we waited for that deal to come down the pipe, that it was all worth it, and that he is still that MVP caliber quarterback that we certainly knew him to be. So hopefully he stays healthy this season. I don't have a problem with that analysis about the Ravens, but I do wonder with some of these teams then, when we get to your second tier, would it shock you at all if they were first tier? Because this is how stacked the AFC is. Because that second tier for you is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets, and now this Tennessee Titans team with D-Hop. Like, would it surprise you if any of those teams ends up in the top tier of the AFC at the end of the season?
No, it wouldn't. And I'll even throw the Cleveland Browns into it as well, because if Deshaun Watson can get back to the play that he was playing at before all the madness started happening, you look at the Cleveland Browns from offensive line to running back depth to tight ends to adding Za'Darius Smith to go along with Myles Garrett, the linebackers who's been able to step up, and then their secondary that they have. The Cleveland Browns are a team that can be scary for a lot of people are playing them. If a lot of teams think the Cleveland Browns are going to be an easy win this season, and it's all predicated off of Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. If he can be able to be better than what we've seen when he came back to football, in which we thought that was going to happen because he had a long time off. It was a long layoff for him. But if he can get back to playing good football, the Cleveland Browns are a dark horse team that I think a lot of people better watch out for.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a player who didn't play football for not just a season, but for over a calendar year. And it was a tall task to then come back in and be playing or trying to play once again at the highest level after, of course, the suspension as well. So with Deshaun Watson missing time for multiple reasons, finding himself in a different uniform, finding himself trying to come in towards the second half of the season last season, and it didn't look good. And because of the fact that it didn't look good, and because of the fact that it was so long before we saw him at his height before that, I think everyone's just frankly forgotten about the Cleveland Browns. They're a team that's very forgettable right now because nobody really knows what to expect this season from Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson looks like 2019 Deshaun Watson. It becomes a very different conversation very quickly.
And on the list too, the Chargers as well. They're another team.
They're like, another team.
The landscape of the AFC, man, it is a gauntlet.
Stacked.
And we're going to see a lot of good teams not even make the playoffs this season because there's so many across the landscape of the AFC.
Right. Not everybody can. Right. Yep. I mean, the Raiders are a team that should be very motivated. Josh McDaniels really needs to show that he can do it as a head coach. Is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be healthy, though? Jimmy G was a quarterback on my outside looking in terms of players with the most pressure on them in the NFL. Because with Jimmy Garoppolo, I think if he doesn't do well there in Vegas, his days as a starting quarterback in the NFL are probably numbered. And so there's a lot of teams with a lot of motivation and a lot of winning to do in the AFC, and you can't all make a postseason. There's very few exceptions to the rule in the AFC. I mean, the Houston Texans, you feel pretty good about saying, aren't going to be good. The Indianapolis Colts, I think we're not throwing into the conversation. But outside of that, I mean, the Steelers, Tomlin's still there.
But you can never count them out because of who their head coach is. And then as long as they have T.J. Watt on the football field defensively, the Steelers with T.J. Watt on the field, the Steelers without T.J. Watt on the field, you talk about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. So the AFC certainly stacked, unpacking who is going to end up there in the top tier. A difficult task, but maybe the Tennessee Titans now catapulted themselves back into that conversation with the signing of DeAndre Hopkins. Coming up next, Steph Curry, maybe not the greatest basketball player of all time, the greatest golfer of all time. Is he headed that direction? We'll talk about it. ESPN Radio is on the ESPN app.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is ESPN Radio.
I remember when Steph Curry was a basketball player. You remember that, Harry? And now he's gone on to dominance in the world of golf. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas hanging out with you here on ESPN Radio. You can also watch us on ESPNU, ESPN Radio, presented to you, of course, by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Steph Curry, he made a hole in one at the American Century Championship and also went on to win the whole damn thing. I mean, this man can't stop winning. He wins the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship. He has the most memorable moment of the entire tournament as well. And these dudes take it seriously, Harry. Like, it's showing his reaction right now. If you're watching us on ESPNU, when he sinks the hole in one, just goes nuts, starts running up the course, kind of flying like an airplane. He is happier sinking a hole in one at the American Century Celebrity Golf Championship than he is winning anything I've ever seen him win in the NBA, including titles.
Well, yeah, when you look at the game of golf, I'm not going to sit up here and say, you know, it's the easiest thing for someone to learn. But for some odd and apparent reason, Steph Curry has been able to master his game on the golf course. You see him hitting a hole in one right now if you're watching it on ESPNU and, you know, sprinting down. He was so excited winning yesterday.
He's like a little kid.
He went and hugged his wife immediately, went and grabbed his son. But I think it's also telling when you look at, you know, his father. I think his father came in second. His brother may have came in, I think, fourth or fifth. It's a family affair for the Currys. It's not just Steph being able to play golf at a high level. And I was watching a summer league basketball game yesterday, and John Schifrin and another guy that was talking with him about how, you know, Dale Curry taught this the color analyst how to play golf or whatnot. And I'm like, man, when you can have your boys around you doing any and everything, in which Steph right now is doing with his son Cannon, you're going to learn a lot of things, and you're going to be able to pick up on it because you're around it so much as a kid. But I think Steph Curry, when he's done playing basketball, Amber, could literally play professional golf. That's the attention to detail. That's how much he loves it. And he loves it. And he even gave the Lakers credit, because someone asked him, like, what do you attribute to, you know, being able to play like this in golf, especially right now? And he said, well, an early exit from the Los Angeles Lakers would do it for you. You have more time to be able to be out there on the golf course. But right. he loves the game, and he wants to be great at it.
I mean, it is amazing. Like, how does he have the time? How does he have any time on his hands to be good at anything? Most of the rest of us out here play golf in your pastime, and nobody's good at it, right? Like, it's the most impossible sport to be good at somehow. And then you watch dudes like Steph Curry go out and do it when he's so busy dominating another sport. It is remarkable to watch. It's remarkable because you knew those people growing up. I mean, Harry Douglas is probably one of those people, right? Like, I'm guessing Harry Douglas is probably good at everything he's ever tried to do. Like, you strike me as one of those kinds. And so it's not surprising when an athlete is good at other athletic endeavors. But for some reason, golf seems different to me. You know, it's not like, oh, Steph Curry can also do something else where he runs fast and jumps high. And, like, obviously the dude's, you know, stupid athlete. But it's golf. I mean, being a crazy athlete doesn't actually necessarily translate to golf. We see so many athletes try. We also see a lot of athletes fail at the endeavor. Steph Curry, completely dominant in that regard.
Well, I think it's the competitive nature, right? And when you grow up playing sports and then you play at a professional level, like the drive and what drives you to be great. And if you start off with something and you aren't great in it, you know, the mindset is, okay, how can I be better at this? What steps do I need to take? Because I think that's where my drive came from, Amber. With anything I do, I never want to fail at anything. So I would try to master or try to sit there and take the proper steps to become successful in anything that I've ever done, because I think the competitive nature in me, sometimes like with your own self, you're talking to your own self like, hey, come on, man, how could you not be able to do this? And I'll be honest, I'll tell you a quick story. Like when I auditioned for ACC Network, for ESPN, and I didn't get it, that lit a different fuse in me. Like that drove me and was a centerpiece of me being able to like be here today, because I didn't get upset. I looked at the opportunity as like, okay, what could I have done better? Mm-hmm. And it drove me more. So I think the competitive nature when it comes to former athletes or athletes that are still out there playing a professional sport, I think sometimes it's simply that.
I too had an audition at ESPN back in probably 2009 and did not get the job, clearly. And then it took me how many? And then I finally got in with ESPN in 2019. So 10 years later, it took me an entire decade to accomplish that goal. But you're right. When those things come up in your life and you are passed over or you do fail, and boy, in this business, that is part of it. You are going to get passed over. You are going to fail. And frankly, you are going to get fired. It is part of this unbelievably competitive business. It also drives you if you have that competitive nature inside of you. Now, I have that here. I do not have that when it comes to athletics, which is why I could never have been an athlete, because y'all are crazy people. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there, because you have to always find the chip and you're always competing against yourself. And you see it with the greatest athletes of all time, the LeBron Jameses of the world, that are just like inventing these haters that don't even exist. And of course, we know MJ did that as well. With Steph Curry, it's a new challenge. He's got the chip on his shoulder and he doesn't want to just sink the putt or make a hole in one. He wants to win the whole damn thing when he's playing against every other celebrity and a bunch of other professional athletes. So that dude is driven in sports that he doesn't even play. And that's what's so remarkable about it, is that he can be this good. Now, I don't agree with you that he could be a pro. I don't think he's as good as the guys on the tour or even close to it, but that's also because he hasn't dedicated his life to it like they have. And maybe if he had, it would have been a different story. I wonder, because you mentioned his son there, watching him play and watching him win, and how his brother also was part of this and his dad was part of this. Do you think Steph Curry would prefer his kids to play golf or play basketball?
Ooh, that's a
like
tough
if it was
one,
you, if the decision was yours.
If it was mine?
Yeah, I feel like football and golf is an easy decision, frankly. I have a feeling Harry Douglas is pushing his son towards golf because a lot less wear, a lot longer of a career. But with basketball, it's kind of a different conversation.
I would say golf. And that's also something that me and my son can bond over. Right. Out there on the golf course together doing things, especially at that point, Steph Curry would be retired. So, you know, your bones and your body breaks down. You can't physically be out there on the basketball court your entire life unless you probably are a shooter like Steph Curry. But on that golf course, he can go out there at all times with his son and, you know, shoot the breeze and bond and have those bonding moments as a family.
It's an interesting one. We'll see which way his kids end up going. But Steph Curry's kids might have multiple options, because it seems like Steph would have been a hell of a golfer if he had focused on golf instead of basketball throughout his career. Amber Wilson, Harry Douglas hanging out with you here on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, how much better does DeAndre Hopkins make the Titans? You can also watch us on ESPNU.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is ESPN Radio.
Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas hanging out with you here on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio presented to you by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas spent a lot of time in the National Football League. Part of that time playing wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans have another guy at wide receiver. And now DeAndre Hopkins signs with the Tennessee Titans today. A two-year deal announced today. $15 million in the first year if he hits all of his incentives. Let's bring in now his teammate, Kevin Byard, Titans safety, joining us. And Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. So let's start with the D-Hop news. I mean, how excited are you guys to get DeAndre Hopkins in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big get for us, honestly. It was a great day for yesterday to break some news on the Sunday, you know, on the Lord's Day. But, like I said, we're very excited. Obviously, we knew early in the offseason there was going to be a possibility we were going to get him. And just to add a guy like him, a guy who I've played with, played against multiple amount of times, he's given us headaches, especially game planning throughout the week. So to have him on our team, to add with some young talent, Treylon Burks, and some of these young guys, it's going to be huge for our offense.
KB, man, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be able to join us on ESPN Radio. And I got to ask you, when you look at a guy like D-Hop, when you look at the receiver room and Treylon Burks, a guy that y'all took in the first round a year ago, how would DeAndre Hopkins be able to make life a little easier for Treylon Burks heading into his second year with the Tennessee Titans?
Playing receiver, man, when you can have a guy like D-Hop, man, that's a guy that you can always depend on to move those chains. I think for him, he's going to be a guy that Ryan Tannehill is going to be able to look to. No matter if he's covered or if he's not, he's open. So you can throw him the ball, you can depend on him. And obviously Treylon Burks can be a guy that can stretch the field. So when you look at a guy who can move the chains like DeAndre Hopkins, but also has some deep threats and obviously give Treylon some opportunities as well, that's going to be huge for our offense. We can't forget about the big guy in the backfield. You know what I mean? So when they try to load up eight in the box, you put one-on-one on D-Hop, you know, that's 9 times out of 10 D-Hop's going to win those matchups. So excited for us to get him. So obviously Ryan Tannehill has some more options to either throw the ball to or turn around and hand it off to Derek.
Titan safety Kevin Byard joining us here on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas with you as well. So Kevin, D-Hop obviously adding another weapon, like you just said, for Ryan Tannehill, another weapon to this team generally. It's going to bring a lot of attention because DeAndre Hopkins was one of the huge named free agents out there, and we've all been watching him on the national level, waiting to see where he decided to go. Now he's on your team. Does that make you guys a Super Bowl contender? Were you guys already a Super Bowl contender? Do you feel disrespected by how everyone's been sort of talking about the Titans this offseason?
No, I mean, a lot of this stuff, you know, is kind of expected, honestly. I mean, the way we ended last year, as a team, as an organization, we shouldn't expect anybody to be putting us up there with any of the top teams in the NFL. But, you know, since I've been here in Tennessee, we've always, you know, lived up to, you know, or at least exceeded expectations. And I think that it's going to be the same thing this year where nobody's going to give us a chance. Everybody's still going to talk down about us at all. And that's fine. We're just going to do our work. We're going to do what we do. And we're just going to win ball games like we always done. So like I said, I think that it was great to get him on the team. I think he's going to fit right into our culture, which is going to be hardworking and go out there to try to win ball games. So, like I said, it's going to be an exciting year. We're just ready to get this training camp kicked off so we can get to work.
KB, when I look at you guys' defense, when I look at the defensive line, I think it's a top five defensive line in the National Football League. A year ago, you guys were plagued by injuries. I would say the last 2 years, I think you guys were plagued by a ton of injuries across your football team. But when you look at your defense right now, someone that isn't well known, who's one or two guys on your defense that you think is going to make a difference for y'all moving into the 2023 season?
Well, I think, you know, some of the offseason pickups that we just had, a guy named Arden Key, obviously, who was, you know, spent some time in San Fran and was in Jacksonville last year. I think he's going to be huge. He was a huge get for us because obviously you have Jeff DeNico and Tier Tart in the middle of that defense and also Harold Landry coming back from injury. But to add another guy, at, you know, in the pass rush, I think Arden Key had like 6.5 sacks. So you add that on to an already dominant front for a safety. Because I know that our defensive line, our outside linebacker, is going to get pressure on the quarterback. So I'm excited about him. But I'm also excited about Shazier. I think he's going to be a really good linebacker for us. Obviously, David Long was a guy who's been here for a few years, had a really great year last year. But watching him during the OTAs and the minicamp, just watching him on film, seeing how fast he is, and he was kind of overshadowed by, you know, those other two guys over there in San Fran. So I think he's really hungry, and he's excited to finally have his opportunity to go out here and start. So those are two guys that I think are going to be big additions for us on the defense.
Titan safety Kevin Byard joining us here on ESPN Radio with Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas. You mentioned Ryan Tannehill when you were talking about D-Hop now catching passes from your quarterback. You obviously also have Malik Willis and Will Levis in that room, nipping at the heels maybe of Tannehill. You've been playing in Tennessee since, I think, 2016 when you joined the Titans. And obviously Tannehill, they're your teammate since 2019. Do you feel like people are disrespectful to Ryan Tannehill? How do you respond to the criticism of your quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, last year was Tannehill's really first year where he, you know, he really battled some injuries. And, I mean, he's probably one of the toughest football players I've ever been around. I mean, the guy, you know, his ankle was – he had a really bum ankle, and he still tried to go out there and give his best. We've had a ton of injuries, you know, all across the board on this team. But one thing I will say about Tannehill, he's a winner. Obviously, we still haven't gotten to the big game, gotten to the Super Bowl. But if you look at this guy's record and you look at his stats and what he's been able to do with less, I mean, if I would say when you talk about injuries, this guy has been phenomenal. And I do kind of think it's a little bit of disrespect because, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not talked about with the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens, but we're always there. And I think when you got a guy like Tannehill, we always have a shot to go and make a run and go win ball games. So we understand that, you know, teams have to plan for the future and things like that. But Ryan Tannehill is still a really, really, really great quarterback. And I'm excited to go into another season with Ryan Tannehill as our quarterback.
KB, last one before we let you go. What would you say to a lot of doubters that feel like Derrick Henry is getting old and has slowed down? What would you say to all those people?
I mean, I would just say, look at the film. I would say, you know, it's funny because people talk about a guy like him being on the decline and things like that. The guy had 1,900 total yards last year. I mean, that doesn't look like a decline at all to me. If you look at the last – I think with his last 5 years, the guy's almost had 8,000, 9,000 total yards. So I always tell Derrick, man, I tell a lot of people, man, this guy, he's one of one. He's not like any other running back that I've ever seen. He's like one of those really old school backs where he can really put the team on his back and take 25, 30 touches a game. And, I mean, everybody who follows Derrick and sees the way he trained, the way he take care of his body, I don't see a decline at all. I mean, if a guy can give me 1,500 rushing yards a year, shoot, give it to me. I mean, I don't look at that as a decline at all. And people are going to talk, man. I think this is just the time of the offseason where people try to, you know, seem smarter than they are and just use all these different analytics and compare and contrast from this guy to the next guy. But for somebody that's been around him, he's a one of one.
And I'll say this really quick. For those of you who doesn't know how Derrick Henry trains, Amber, you know how I am. And KB, you know how I work out. Derrick Henry is the only person that ever got me to quit a workout and said, that's it. I'm good. That's enough. He asked me in the Bahamas, did I want to go work out with him one morning? And I told him, hell no.
No.
Yeah, I mean, his workouts is different, man. Trust me, they're different.
Harry Douglas didn't want to mess with it after all of those strawberry daiquiris that I imagine Harry Douglas was having in the Bahamas. Kevin Byard, Titan safety. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a good morning.
Thanks,
now
bro.
A teammate, of course, of DeAndre Hopkins, who has signed with the Tennessee Titans 2 years, first year up to $15 million. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio and on ESPNU, we will react to our conversation with Kevin Byard. If you missed any of it, definitely check out the podcast on the ESPN app. The ESPN Radio is also on the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more.
Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Tennessee Titans fans probably dancing this morning if they just now woke up to the news that DeAndre Hopkins has chosen the Tennessee Titans. Looks like a two-year deal, not a one-year deal. It surprises a lot of people. We thought DeAndre Hopkins was going to go after a one-year deal, like an OBJ-type deal. OBJ gets $15 million guaranteed, a few more mil in incentives. DeAndre Hopkins' deal is a two-year deal, but the first year, up to $15 million, so probably taking a page out of OBJ's book in that regard, chooses Tennessee over seemingly New England. And, of course, there were a lot of other suitors as well for what D-Hop can bring to the table. Kevin Byard, he is a Titans safety.
Wait.
Did I say it right?
What?
I said it right.
What? You said it right. You said it right that time.
Exactly.
You
want
to hear how you said it when you introduced him the first time?
Let us hear it. Let's hear it.
Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard.
Really close.
Kevin Byard.
You called him Kevin Byard.
Instead of Byard. Kevin Byard. Here's what happened. A little look behind the curtain, okay? We were in break before going on with Kevin Byard, who did an amazing job, by the way. He was an excellent guest there, Harry's old teammate in Tennessee, current Tennessee Titan at the safety position. And so we're going into the segment, but this is still in break. And I hear one of our producers, Jerry, on the television side, talking to everybody in the room back there in the control room. And he's telling them about somebody who botches this name. It's a very simple name, Byard, honestly. But he was telling a story. And I could overhear the story, even though the story wasn't meant for me. And so I got the yips. Like, immediately, I'm like, oh, I'm done.
You
I'm
going to
be in trouble. I now am panicking because now I've heard this story about somebody else botching
Kevin
his name. A name that I thought was easy when it was on my screen leading into the segment. But now that I know somebody else has botched this name and other people have problems with this name, now I'm going to have a problem with this name. And lo and behold, apparently I had a problem with the name.
Kevin Byard.
Kevin Byard.
And I tell you, Amber, listen, when you with Pat, if Pat tell you you messed something up, just believe him. Just be like, you know what? I did. I move on forward. Because Pat has that ear now. Pat has that ear. He's got me on back when KJM was here. He got me on KJM before when I thought he told me I said something. I was like, no, I didn't. I was like, no, I didn't, Pat. I didn't
adamant.
Say that.
He was adamant he didn't say
I was
say
adamant
something.
About it. And he went back and played in the next segment. I was like, damn, maybe I did say
that. It was a rough day for you, man.
In this job, things come out of your mouth all the time that you're just like, what was that? Or you're just not even aware. You know, you think you said something properly. You didn't say something properly. We talked for 4 hours straight. It can happen. Things happen.
It definitely
does. Kevin Byard. Kevin
Byard.
That's how you say it. Not how I'm saying it in that clip. That's how you say it. The Titans safety. He was
on
with
Byard
us just moments ago. That's not nice, Pat. He was on with us just moments ago, and he talked about his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
you look at this guy's record and you look at his stats and what he's been able to do with less. I mean, if I would say when you talk about injuries, this guy's been phenomenal. And I do kind of think it's a little bit of disrespect because, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not talked about with the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens, but we're always there. And I think when you got a guy like Tannehill, we always have a shot to go and make a run and go win ball games. So we understand that, you know, teams have to plan for the future and things like that. But Ryan Tannehill is still a really, really, really great quarterback. And I'm excited to go into another season with Ryan Tannehill as our quarterback.
So a lot of support there for his quarterback. Were you surprised at the emphatic support? Because, man, it has been hard to be Ryan Tannehill, right? The last couple of seasons. That's the reality of this situation. You know, I said Tannehill right, Pat.
Who was the quarterback?
Be nice. I said Tannehill right.
Are you sure?
It was a little emphasis on Tannehill. Kevin Byard, quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
You can hear the laughter on the end of Hill.
I was laughing. I didn't say it wrong, though. I was just mid-laugh as
quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, goodness. I am so glad that it's almost the end of the show. Just got off the rail this quarterback Ryan Tannehill. This is what I get for drinking decaf coffee this late in the show. I'm like, oh, I've already had a couple cups of real coffee. I'm going to go decaf the rest
but Amber,
of the show.
Let me tell you what's the funny part about it, though.
Great move by
you. You knew you did it, too, because you immediately did like this after saying it.
Quarterback Ryan Tannehill. And then Pat starts yelling in my ear as the soundbite. Oh, like, did you just pronounce Tannehill wrong? Oh, God. I'm trying to have a conversation here about Ryan Tannehill, but I can't get out the fact that I am bad at pronouncing things. Go ahead.
I am not surprised.
That was a big gift.
I'm not surprised that Kevin Byard supports Ryan Tannehill in that manner. And I'll be honest with you. I've been a person that's been very critical of him, playing in Tennessee for 3 years and how close I am still to that organization. But I will say this. When you talk about consistency, Tannehill has been that guy. He has provided that for them since becoming the starting quarterback. Also, when you take a look at the Tennessee Titans, when he's not the starting quarterback, you start to appreciate what Ryan Tannehill does a lot more so than you did beforehand. And also your little gripes and complaints, they come to a very a minimum, I should say.
The thing is with Ryan Tannehill is that man can certainly take some criticism. And he wasn't, he certainly wasn't immune to it during his long tenure with the Miami Dolphins, right? I mean, as a Dolphins fan, I watched him for 7 years down there. And there was a lot of criticism of Ryan Tannehill because he was never awful, but he was also never great, right? And so he was one of those quarterbacks that you were always questioning. Is he good enough? Is he good enough? Is he good enough? And it felt like each and every season there was excuses, reasons that maybe he wouldn't be so good. Certainly those Dolphins teams that they put around him weren't noteworthy. So then he goes to Tennessee and he has to win a starting role back in the NFL. And he does that. And he looks initially much better than any of us expected, but a good Titans team that they had put around him. And he has the help in the backfield with Derrick Henry. And he still has that help available to him. There are times that Ryan Tannehill is going to be frustrating. But one of the things that I do find more endearing about him is the fact that he has dealt with this criticism now since 2012. He has dealt with this criticism for a decade that he has spent in the National Football League, mostly as a starting quarterback. And he does go out there and he does work his way through it. And he never really gets too high. He never really gets too low. And I do think it's a credit to Ryan Tannehill and the adversity that he's faced. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not a top tier quarterback in the league, but I do think he's probably been better for that Titans team than he gets credit for.
Yeah. And you mentioned frustration. If I was him, I would have been frustrated last year because I had to go into last season without my number one receiver, A.J. Brown, because, you know, former general manager John Robinson thought it was the best thing for the organization to move on. So if I was him, I would have been frustrated at that. That's why now today I'm excited because now I'm going to have a DeAndre Hopkins to be able to throw the football to. And I don't have to be 100% right because of his catch radius.
Certainly, it's another weapon for you. You're right, a weapon that would not have been necessary if they had just signed A.J. Brown and kept him in-house and not giving him away to the Philadelphia Eagles to go watch him play in a Super Bowl this past season. So now they are trying to right the wrongs of their former front office here by bringing in a DeAndre Hopkins and giving Ryan Tannehill another weapon. I think the truth is they're probably giving Will Levis another weapon in the future, maybe even a Malik Willis. I do think that the plan is ultimately to move on from Tannehill, that contract now much more movable this season. Wouldn't be surprised if at some point we see a different starting quarterback there in Tennessee. But if it is Ryan Tannehill that comes out at the start at the beginning of the season and is looking good with I didn't say it wrong again. Tannehill, you know what I'm not going to say wrong? Mike Greenberg, Greeny, coming up next here on ESPN Radio.
Quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
This is ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.